Well, good morning. It is good to be back with you this morning. If this is our first time meeting, maybe you haven't been here when I've been here in the past. I just want to give you a brief background on me. I served in full-time ministry for 30 years, the first 12 as an associate pastor, primarily with youth, and then 18 years as lead pastor at LifePoint Church, which is a Church of God congregation up in Goshen. I stepped away from that role in January of 2021, and I've been serving in HR and leadership development at a small manufacturing company just north of Middlebury since then. I've been married to my wife, Beth, for 31 years. We have three adult kids, a son, a daughter, and a son-in-law. And probably really the reason why I got asked back, not so much that I did a good job last time, but I also happen to be Pastor Jeff's friend for the last 19 years. You can take that as a positive or a negative, however you want to see it, all right? So, but I'm always grateful to help him out by coming and preaching here occasionally when he needs a Sunday to be away from the pulpit. So enough about me. I have a question for you this morning. Do you ever feel like God is disappointed with you? Or maybe that he doesn't want you around because he's irritated or unimpressed with you? Or that nothing you ever do is good enough for him? Or maybe he's just putting up with you? Have you ever felt that way? That God is disappointed with you? That he's just kind of putting up with you? I know that I've kind of experienced that and felt those feelings before, but what if that's not true? What if God is always glad to be with you? What if God is joyfully present with you right now? What if God is constantly moving towards you, not ignoring you in disappointment or disgust, but he's constantly moving towards you? What if God's face is lit up with a shining smile for you right now? Would that change anything for you? Would that actually change how you're living your life? I know it has for me, and I think it can be true for you as well. So here's our good news for the day. God is glad to be with us and experiencing his glad, joyful presence changes how we live. When we believe that God is genuinely glad to be with us, it changes how we experience God's presence and it changes how we live, which I believe is kind of what this well-known blessing from Numbers 6:22 through 27 is really communicating, and I want to read that to you today. Here's what it says. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." So this is a blessing about God's presence, of God being glad to be with his people, which I'm going to explain in a few moments. But before we do that, I want to point out something about the biblical story that I think a lot of times we miss. That the central point of the entire biblical story is simply this: God with us. God with us. From Genesis to Revelation, the focus is God's presence with his people. And here's an example from the Gospel of Matthew. There are two passages in the Gospel of Matthew that kind of act as bookends to the whole gospel. One is in the first chapter, one is in the last chapter. And I want to look at those with us today to kind of see how this whole idea of God with us is kind of at the central point of the biblical story. First up, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about.
His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the child born to Mary and Joseph, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is Emmanuel, God with us. Now I want to go to the last chapter of Matthew, the last words of Matthew, and listen to these words from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So we see it here in Matthew, but we see it really throughout all of Scripture, that this story of the Bible, over and over again, is God with us. We are created to be in God's presence. We're created to be in His joyful, glad to be with us presence. And yet, frequently, we struggle to live in God's presence with us, don't we? We struggle to experience Him being glad to be with us. And why is that? Well, I think Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is helpful in answering that question. And this is probably a verse that many of you are familiar with. It simply says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, there's a theologian that says we tend to read this passage in the following way. We've all missed the target. We've all fallen short. We've all failed to meet God's moral perfection because we sin. And reading Romans 3:23, when you read it that way, we've all failed, we've all fallen short, we've all missed God's moral perfection. When we read it this way, it can affect how we view God. You know, it can kind of create in us that whole idea of, "I failed again. I'm such an idiot. Why does a perfect and holy God want anything to do with me?" But I want to ask, is there another way to read this passage? Is there a way maybe even more accurate to understand this passage? And so I want to look at it again. We'll kind of go in reverse order here. So the glory of God. The glory of God, as understood in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, is most often referring to the overwhelming display of God's presence. It's literally talking about the location of God's presence. And so the glory of God is all about God's presence. And then that phrase, falling short. Falling short actually translates more closely to the idea of being lacking or wanting something due to lack rather than failing. And so it's a condition of being, that I'm lacking something. And so if you begin to think about it that way and reading it that way, it suggests that we're lacking the glorious presence of God. And why do we lack the presence of God? Well, Romans 3:23 says, because of sin. We've all sinned and lack the presence of God. But instead of viewing sin as missing the mark, a more accurate understanding is that we've stepped off the path. We've veered off the road. We've lost our way. God has shown us a clear path, hasn't He? And we've wandered away from it in pursuit of a life that leads to death instead of the path that keeps us in God's presence that leads to life. So if we read Romans 3:23 in this way, it suggests we've all wandered off God's path of life. And now, because of that, we lack God's glorious presence. The focus is on us wandering away from God, even though we belong in His joyful, glad-to-be-with-us presence. And number six tells us that God's presence, it brings us blessing. It brings us protection. It brings us grace. It brings us peace. And if God's joyful, glad-to-be-with-us presence brings us all that, why do we wander off from it so often? Why do we wander away from Him and being in His presence? Well, again, Scripture tells us a couple of things. One, from the very beginning and throughout history, it seems that we humans can sinfully convince ourselves that we can find something better than God. That things like money, sex, and power will somehow make us happy. And so we turn to them and a whole slew of other sinful things, and we turn away from God. And when we do, what do we experience? We experience shame. And shame is the other thing that keeps us from experiencing God's glad and joyful presence. Now, I want you to know something. Shame actually can have a positive impact on us in this way. Shame was really built into us in order to alert us that we have a disconnection from others. Let's say you get in a fight with a friend or your spouse, and it gets ugly, and you do something really ugly, and there's this shame that you're feeling. The purpose of that is to say, hello, disconnection, we need to work this out and come back together. That's the best thing that we can do, is to admit our mistake and seek to restore that connection. But too often, instead what shame does is it leads us to hiding. We feel this overwhelming sense of shame, and so instead of trying to fix the connection, what we do instead is we go into hiding. And we see this at the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis chapter 2 with Adam and Eve, right? Actually, Genesis 2 and 3. So Genesis 2:25 says this, Adam and his wife, Eve, were both naked, and they felt no shame. They were naked, and they felt no shame. All was good. There was this connection between the two of them. But that changes quickly, doesn't it? In Genesis chapter 3, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Adam and Eve, they felt shame. And it overwhelmed them so much with fear that they decided, you know what, the best situation for us here is to hide. It ruptured their connection with God and His joyful, glad presence. But notice what happens here. God went looking for them. And that's the good news for us today. He continues to come looking for us because He is always glad to be with us. And that's what we see in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. Verses 22 and 23 tell us that this is a blessing that the Jewish priests were to speak to God's people. And a lot of people, when they hear this idea of blessing, they think of things like material favor and good fortune. An example of that is this last Sunday, Beth and I were at church, and there was a young couple there, and we were talking to them, and they were so excited. They're a couple that has five kids.
or no, four kids, and they were looking for a house that was much bigger than the one that they were in. And they'd been looking for a couple of years, and in the housing market that we have, they couldn't find a house, and so they'd struggled to find one. And this Sunday, we were talking to them, and they had these huge smiles on their faces because they had finally found the house that was for them, that was going to work for them. They'd put in an offer, and it was accepted. And towards the end of the conversation, they said, "We are so blessed." So blessed. I mean, that's a lot of what we think about when we think about blessing, that it's about having a nice home or having a good job. I'm so blessed to have a great life. And don't get me wrong, I genuinely believe that good gifts from God, whether it's a nice home, a job, whatever, is a blessing from God. But this blessing in Numbers chapter 6, it goes way beyond this idea of may God help our crops grow and protect us from our enemies and give us a nice car to drive, especially when you consider the context of the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is about God's people and their journey to the promised land. A lot of people, when they think of the book of Numbers, they think of all these lists of how they're counting out the different tribes of Israel. But in reality, the book of Numbers is about this trip that they're taking to the promised land, a land where they're to experience God's peace and rest because they are in His presence. This book is a foreshadowing of God's ultimate purposes for all of creation, including us, to experience His peace and rest in His presence. Now, most of you probably know that the word for peace is, in Hebrew, is shalom. And it's a much bigger idea than just an absence of conflict. Peace or shalom is about everything being just the way it should be. Have you ever had one of those experiences where, you know, life was all just kind of lining up just the way it should be, and there's just kind of this, you know, just this relief that, like, there's just this peace, there's this harmony, that everything is the way it should be. And that peace, it comes from living in God's presence. This blessing was like a daily blessing that was supposed to be spoken over God's people, reminding them of His presence. Each day as the people came to the tabernacle there in the wilderness, in the book of Numbers, it was a blessing spoken over God's people to remind them of His presence. And so in verse 24, the blessing says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Now, the basic idea of keep you is that God is keeping you from wandering off the path, away from God's glad and joyful presence. He's keeping you in God's presence. He's reminding you, don't wander off that way. That's not the way to life. That's the way to death. Stay on this path with me. Stay in my presence. And then in verses 25 and 26, we see God's smiling face. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Now, you've seen a shining face, haven't you? It's that beaming, joyful face that a parent has for a newborn. Or really anybody has for a newborn. A few weeks ago, we were at church, my wife and I and our daughter and son-in-law, and sitting right in front of us was my daughter's friend from high school, and she had her newborn there with her. His name is Pruitt, and Pruitt had a little pacifier in his mouth, and when Hannah saw him, she leaned up, and she, you know, did the thing that you do with babies. Your face lights up, and you grin, and, "How you doing, little Pruitt?" That kind of thing, and immediately, the pacifier pops out of his mouth and his face lights up with a grin as well because he's happy to see my daughter. I experience a shining face most days when I come home from work. When I come through the door most days, I'm greeted with a big joyful smile on my wife's face, and her eyes are dancing because she's glad I'm home. She's glad to be with me. Neuroscientists call this experience joy. That's literally what joy is. Joy is what you feel when you are with someone who is glad to be with you. And this kind of joy, this joy is fuel for the human brain. We are literally created with a need for joy, to experience someone being glad to be with us. And here's the thing. Joy is primarily communicated through our faces. We all need the joyful, glad to be with us presence of other people. But we also need the joyful, glad to be with us presence of God. And when we experience this, it changes how we live. When we experience God's smiling face for us, that joy helps us regulate our emotions. It helps us to endure suffering. That joy helps us build secure bonds with God and with others. When I trust that God is happy to be with me, I can feel His face shining on me in joy. It builds a security in me. I discover that I'm secure in my friendship with Him and my identity. I feel like I belong. I feel more stable when things go wrong. It's easier to be myself. I have a steady sense of myself when I'm experiencing God's smiling face, His glad, joyful presence with me. It's as if 1 John 4:18 is becoming a reality in my life, where John writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." This is our good news for the day. God is glad to be with you, and experiencing His glad, joyful presence changes how we live. Now, I've experienced this in a couple of ways in my life. One is 32 years ago, and the other one is here just recently in the last few weeks. So 32 years ago, I experienced another person knowing God is glad to be with her. My wife, Beth, and I had just started dating. And one evening we were together, and I suggested, "Hey, what do you say we pray together?" And so I prayed first, and then she started praying. And when she prayed, I was so deeply struck by how she prayed. Her prayer had an intimate quality to it. It was like she was talking with someone who genuinely cared for her and was glad to be with her. It was like she knew that there was a sparkle in His eyes for her. And I wanted to experience God like she did. So I married her. I'd like to say that that happened pretty quickly for me, that I experienced God the way she experienced God. But for a lot of reasons, it didn't happen as quickly as I had hoped. Experienced God's shining face was hit and miss for me throughout my life. But over the years, especially in the last 5 to 6 years, I've grown my capacity to experience God's shining face. I've grown my capacity to experience Him being glad to be with me. I've grown my capacity to experience His shining, smiling face for me. And I've really experienced this in the last few weeks. So at the end of March, the company that I've been working for the last 2.5, 3 years was sold to a larger company that does the same thing that we do. And if you've ever been in that position, you know what I immediately started doing. I started working on my resume because I wasn't confident that there would be a place for me within this company, and I was just very concerned about that. Well, for whatever crazy reason, towards the end of May, they approached me and said, "Hey, we're trying to identify how we're going to go about addressing the leadership needs of this plant. Would you consider being plant manager?" Now, when they said that to me, I thought, are you guys nuts? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to make wood pellets the way a lot of other people know how to do that. I don't have any idea here. And yet, they were convinced that I was capable of doing the job. And I have to be honest, I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity, but humble because I realize how much I have to learn about how to do it. And here's what I want you to know. Had this happened to me 8, 10, 15 years ago, my insecurities would have been raging. Inside of me, they would have been kind of oozing out of me. I would have been driving people nuts because I would have been driven and passionate because I got to prove to everybody that I know what I'm doing and I know how to do it. And so I would have been push, 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 push. And I would have been making people crazy. But these last few weeks, I've experienced a peace. I've experienced this sense that, you know what? This leadership role that I've been blessed with and that I've been given, it's really kind of what I'm made for. That this is how it should be. That this is what I should be doing. And here's the thing. I'm convinced that that peace is the result of me being more secure in my union with God. More secure with His glad, joyful presence in my life. More secure in His shining, smiling face for me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Peace. It's been my reality for the last few weeks, and I'm so grateful for that, and I'm convinced it's because I've been able to grow my capacity to experience His smiling face for me. So let me ask you again. Are you struggling with feeling like God is disappointed with you? Or maybe that He doesn't want you around because He's irritated or unimpressed with you? Or that nothing you ever do is good enough for Him? I want you to know this morning, God's not frowning at you. God has a shining, smiling face for you because He is glad to be with you. Maybe this morning you've wandered off God's path, walking away from His joyful presence. Are you struggling with the shame of your inadequacies and therefore you're hiding? Maybe from Him and others. Again, I want you to hear, God's not frowning at you. God has a shining, smiling face for you because He is glad to be with you. And He's inviting you to come back to Him. So can you open yourself to His joyful delight in you? To His joy-filled, smiling, shining face. I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. I'm going to invite Raphael and the worship team back up to lead us in a closing song. And the song that we're going to sing is the song, O Come to the Altar. And there's a line in the song that says, the Father's arms are open wide. Most mornings in my life, I have different practices that I do to kind of help me, again, stay secure and grounded with God. And one of those practices is to imagine that first moment when God got my attention with His shining, smiling face. I was at Camp Challenge, our Church of God camp in southern Indiana. And I didn't know Jesus yet at this point. And I was there, and I experienced God's shining, smiling face. And so most mornings, I imagine my Heavenly Father, while I was there at Camp Challenge, standing in the doorway that led out to where the altar was at this camp. And His arms are open wide. And He has a shining smile on His face. And He's glad to see me. And He's glad to welcome me into His embrace. And I imagine that for a few minutes each day. Just soaking in that that's who He is. And it was true all those years ago, and it's still true today. And that's your truth as well. And so if you find yourself today in a space where you need to experience your Heavenly Father with arms open wide and a shining smile, I want to invite you to come to the altar. That if you sense a longing to experience His smiling face, come to the altar. There will be people up here that can pray for you. that can speak this blessing over you with a smile on their face to help you experience His smile for you? If you sense God present and at work in you today, would you open yourself up to His invitation to come to the altar and experience God's love and grace? Experience His smiling face shining on you today.
Bring your sorrows and trials.